Manjakapaturubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhaibhascha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Prithu Maharaj has terribly, heavily threatened the earth. Why? Because the earth, after he had taken control of the kingdom, incarnated after the demise, having been cursed by the sages of his father Vena, and after him being churned from the dead body of Vena, he was coronated, and then immediately he understood that the citizens were unhappy, having not sufficient food, and he was going to immediately chastise the earth, kill the earth. And he even said that I will cut you up. The earth had taken the form of a cow even. He said, I will cut you up into small pieces and feed you to the citizens to satisfy their hunger. So the earth was terrified. And the earth spoke. One time, then Prithu Maharaj answered and didn't accept the excuses of the earth. Then the earth spoke again, almost saying the same things again. That if you kill me, then since everyone, all the people are resting upon me, you'll all be doomed. And after all, I'm sinless. And after all, I am one of the citizens. I'm also one of the ones who are under your protection, O Prithu Maharaj. You are so determined to protect those under your care, but I'm also one of them. So why are you so eager to kill me and protect everyone else? You're so eager to kill me even though I'm a woman and even in the form of a cow. So Prithu Maharaj was still very angry because he wanted what he wanted. And what was it that he wanted? He wanted the grains, the food grains, the earth to supply the grains that the citizens needed. So he remained angry, and the earth, although very frightened, in chapter 18, text 1, it describes how she is going to again speak to the king, not to kill her. So this is what she said. My dear Lord, please pacify your anger completely and hear patiently whatever I shall submit before you. Please turn your kind attention to this. I may be very poor, but a learned man takes the essence of knowledge from all places, just as a bumblebee collects honey from each and every flower. To benefit all human society, she continued, not only in this life, but in the next, the great seers and sages have prescribed various methods to conducive to the prosperity of the people in general. So in this verse, up to text 5, she's going to describe how there is an actual way prescribed by the great sages that happiness can be extracted from this life. The same thing is basically explained by Krishna in the 3rd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, how in the beginning of the creation, the Lord, when he populated the universe, he gave them the Vedas and told them to perform sacrifices because the sacrifices would bring prosperity and happiness to both the people, the demigods, who would be propitiated by the sacrifices. The earth would flourish. So be happy by the sacrifices. The sacrifices are basically the methodology, the methods to be prosperous in this world in a religious way that will not degrade the consciousness. So the sages, as the earth is saying, gave these sacrifices or the methodology that would bring true prosperity. Because now the methodology to bring prosperity actually ultimately causes the greatest poverty. The fertilizers are put in the land not because the people don't wish to use Krishna's method of prosperity, so the fertilizers are put in the land and some crops are squozen out, but the land becomes more and more infertile. There is prosperity of one kind for some people, but the vast majority of the people become poorer. So on and on and on. The use of the methodology not prescribed by Krishna is, practically speaking, the definition of happiness in the mode of passion, where Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that it is like poison in the end, but it is like nectar in the beginning. The results come in the beginning, but at the end, poison is produced. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the middle paragraph. In the Manusmriti, it is stated that, here's an example. So here's an example of not using Krishna's system that Prabhupada gives in the purport. In the Manusmriti, it is stated that a woman should not be given independence, but should be given protection by her father, husband, and elderly sons. In all circumstances, a woman should remain dependent upon some guardian. Presently, women are given full independence like men, but actually we can see that such independent women are no happier than the women who are placed under guardians. If people follow the injunctions given by the great sages, Shrutis and Smritis, they can actually be happy both in this life and the next. Unfortunately, rascals are manufacturing so many ways and means to be happy. Everyone is inventing so many methods. Consequently, human society has lost the standard ways of life. And this is the basic characteristic of contemporary times, that the authority, how to do anything, has been smashed. Authority has proved to have been wrong, so therefore that gives everyone the license to do anything they want, any time they want, any place they want. So people manufacture so many ways and means to be happy. Everyone is inventing so many methods. Consequently, human society has lost the standard ways of life. So everyone is doing everything in their own way, both materially and spiritually. And as a result, people are bewildered. No one knows to go this way or that way. There are so many options. Everything is confused nowadays. And there is no peace or happiness in the world. Even in the ancient cultures, even today, when I was in Bangladesh and I visited one of our temples, we have some land outside of Chittagong, on the eastern side of Bangladesh, very close to Burma. And we have some land there, the house of the land of that used the birthplace of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, an exalted associate of Mahaprabhu, and Bhajan Kutir, Vasudev Datta, and Mukunda Datta, very wonderful persons. And there was a big village surrounding this land, and there were almost 100,000 people in that village. But the way it was set up was very, very old-fashioned. Not that it was, they tried to set it up in an old-fashioned way, but it hadn't changed since the old days. So the way it was set up is that what we would consider a horrible way nowadays is that all the people of a particular occupation, they would live in the same area. So all the people who washed clothes, the dhobis, that was their occupation, they would all live together. The pujaris would live together, the jewelers would live together, the farmers would live in particular areas, and of course there was a lot of farming land around. So we would think, being brought up in contemporary society, how horrible it is. They're forced to live in a particular place. Actually, they're not forced. But just imagine from the other point of view, just imagine how peaceful it would be if you only associate, just from the material point of view, just how peaceful it would be if you only associated with people who thought the same way you did. Because continuously nowadays, well, I think this, well, you may think that, and I think like that. And no one thinks the same as anyone else, and therefore, even that alone is the basic cause of anxiety. Everyone has a different idea, and it's so rare you find people who have a common idea. And then when you find someone who you agree with and who agrees with you, it's such a relief, and you feel, oh, finally, there's someone in the world who sees properly. But just imagine if all the people that you basically associated with day by day were all the people who live next door to you. And those people thought in the same way, they had the similar mentality you as you. And you saw the world in a way how just that simple thing, that one simple principle would remove most of the anxiety. But now, no, that's a horrible thing. Everyone, you should only stay with people who you disagree with. Now that's proper. And who have a different idea of what should be done and what shouldn't be done than you. That's liberality, that's modernity, and that's confusion and anxiety. And that's what it is. So the sages prescribe various methods, the earth say, conducive to the prosperity, the peace. Because without peace, if one's mind is always disturbed by everything, how is it possible to prosecute and advance Krishna consciousness? It's so much more difficult. So much more difficult. Because the mind is just running over and over so many things all day long, all the anxieties and what we should have told this one and what I'll tell them next time and on and on and on. So the earth is saying, long ago, this is what people did. They followed the sages. And what is the result? One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. So Prabhupada takes advantage of the opportunity to criticize modern civilization. We'll hear a few of the criticisms. The Vedic principles, this is the purport to four. Mahajanoyenavitasapanda. The Vedic principles urge us to follow in the footsteps of great liberated souls. In this way, we can receive benefit in both this life and the next. And we can also improve our material life. So that's another point. Not only does the methodology of contemporary civilization not truly benefit us and bring happiness in this life, there is always the promise of happiness, but the delivery of happiness is tomorrow only. It's just around the corner and it never comes. But not only that, the methodology degrades one so that one's next life will be troublesome and difficult and worse. So, by following the sages, we can receive benefit in both this life and the next, and we can also improve our material life. By following the principles laid down by great sages and saints of the past, we can very easily understand the aim of all life. The word avara, meaning inexperienced, is very significant in this verse. Every conditioned soul is inexperienced. Everyone is a bodha jata, born a fool and rascal. Prophet, so heavy. Everyone is born a fool and rascal. It means both, he's saying. Not a fool or a rascal, but a fool. Prabhupada generally would equate a fool with a rascal, because you're foolish. If you had no knowledge, by definition, you're going to do ridiculous things, which makes you a rascal. So in democratic government at the present moment, all kinds of fools and rascals are making decisions. But what can they do? What is the result of their legislation? So if someone does something good, We expect it to persevere, it will stand, it will last, people will want it. So what is the result of their education? They enact something today just to whimsically repeal it tomorrow. One political party utilizes a country for one purpose, and the next moment another political party forms a different type of government and nullifies all the laws and regulations. This is this process of chewing the chewed, punas puno chavita chavananam, will never make human society happy. In order to make all human society happy and prosperous, we should accept the standard methods given by liberated persons. Text 5. So the earth is continuing her complaint, and her complaint, right now she's saying about in previous times, this is what people did, they followed the sages. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation does not recognize the authority of the sages, who laid down unimpeachable directions, is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. So we try and try and try our own methodologies, our own methods, our own procedures. No, everything the other people have done is wrong. We're going to do it right this time. We have a better idea. But again and again we try, but the result never really comes. Prabhupada's purport. More criticism. At the present moment, it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable directions given by the acharyas and liberated souls of the past. Why? Fashionable? Because they are getting in the way of progress. They're old fashioned, and now we're evolving. We are evolving. Actually, we are revolving. Revolving in what? Well, it's sort of one of those doors that go, one of the revolving doors. In and out of the same thing of the material world, birth and death, birth and death. Presently, people are so fallen, they cannot distinguish. So we're fools, rascals, and fallen also. They cannot distinguish between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is hampered by 4 defects. He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to become illusioned. He has a tendency to cheat others. And his senses are imperfect. Consequently, we have to take directions from liberated persons. This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, so very interesting contemporary points here. So the Krishna consciousness movement again is directly receives instructions from the Personality of Godhead through those who are strictly following. Now a follower, Prabhupada says, may not be a liberated person. If he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contaminations of the material nature. So either liberated or following someone when is liberated, because following one who is liberated will make one liberated. Lord Chaitanya therefore says, by my order you may become a spiritual master. So even if one is not liberated, if one is following the liberated, then one can become a spiritual master. Amara Gai Guru Hai Tare Desh. This was actually Prabhupada's final instruction in the last conversation where he spoke about who will initiate after your departure in 1997. He quoted this verse several times. Amara Gai Guru Hai Tare Desh. My order, become a spiritual master. One can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by following his instructions. Materialistic men are not interested in taking directions from a liberated person, but they are very much interested in their own concocted ideas, which make them repeatedly fail in their attempts. Because the entire world is now following the imperfect directions of conditioned souls, Humanity is completely bewildered. So the earth is saying nowadays, no one wants to follow the ways of happiness of the sages. My dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs, and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. So all the necessities that I produced, because you are angry at me, so angry at me, so angry you wanted to kill me for not producing the grains and the seeds and the herbs to feed the population, but just see what is going on. There is more to it than just my reluctance to produce. But the necessities that I produced are all being used by non-devotees. And why? For their sense enjoyment. What are they supposed to be used for? By the order of the sages? They're supposed to be used for sacrifice. They're supposed to be returned to you for your pleasure. Yajna vai Vishnu. They're meant for Krishna's pleasure. And these people are using them nowadays just for their own selfish sense gratification, not in sacrifice. More criticisms of Prabhupada's purport. This is about almost two-thirds of the way down. The whole Vedic plan is that the misguided conditioned souls who have come to lord it over material nature should be trained to become dhritavrata. This means they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Activities intended to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord Krishna are called Krishnarte Akhila Chesta. This indicates that one can attempt all kinds of work, but one should do so to satisfy Krishna. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita as yajna tat karma. The word yajna indicates Lord Vishnu. We should work only for his satisfaction. And this is the basic definition of what religion is. Bhagavad Dharma. It is those activities that are meant, performed with the motive to please the Lord. The word yajna indicates Lord Vishnu. We should work only for his satisfaction. And acting in this way, thinking in this way, and acting concordantly is surrender. Pleasing Krishna. Making the attempt, the soul, making the vow that I don't want to act in this world with myself as the center. I have tried that for so many births, and in this life so many times, and the result is just like it is for the world. It's bewilderment. So now, my dear Krishna, my dear spiritual master, Guru Maharaj, now we wish to act for your pleasure. In modern times, so one should work only for his satisfaction. In modern times, Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten Vishnu altogether, and they conduct their activities for sense gratification. Such people will gradually become poverty-stricken. But it seems we're making so much progress, so much more opulence and wealth. But actually, people are more and more what? We could do some mind reading. In?
Debt.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking. They're more and more in debt. And people spend and spend. The holiday season just passed. People just spend and spend. But they have to work all next year to pay for it. Billions and billions of dollars in debt. Poverty stricken. Is it good to be in debt? Does it mean that you have wealth to be, that you're in debt? That your prosperity is increasing? And everyone thinks India is a poor country. But Where do the people have all... Everyone has at least a few lakhs hidden away, yes? Yeah. No, there's the proof right there. Where do they have it hidden? Huh? Certainly. Even the beggars, especially the beggars. Where do they keep it hidden, though? In the mattress or in the backyard?
They save for the rich people.
They're employed by the rich people.
You mean the beggars are employed by the rich people? But where do the people hide their money? In the fields? I'm not asking you directly, but where do the people hide their money?
Everyone has some gold.
Where do they put it?
Jewelry on their wife.
Is that a good idea?
In the ground. In India, there is no proper system of checking computerized system, so they put their name to the many names, and they put in the different banks, different post office, they don't make a proper...
Post office, because you don't have this postal deposit. That's very much what people use, because you don't have to account for that. So all the tricks are now coming out.
Once there was this, they had a $1,000 bill, 1,000 rupees bill.
Yeah.
So it was a very old system. So the government thought, let's bring out all the rupees where it's been hidden. You know? So they said, we want to ban this 1,000 rupees note. So suddenly you can exchange the money. All the money came in.
Yeah.
A lot of gone into the bin, you know, where no use of it.
So everyone is in debt here. So such people will gradually become poverty stricken, for that it cannot use things which are to be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord for their own sense gratification. If they continue like this, there will ultimately be a state of poverty. It will go from the state of excitement to the state of poverty, and no grains, fruits or flowers will be produced. Indeed, it is stated in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam that at the end of Kali Yuga, people will be so polluted there will be no longer any grains, wheat, sugarcane or milk, and people will be forced to eat each other. So the earth is continuing to complain about the people, and this is what she hasn't produced. My dear king, not only grains and herbs are being used by the non-devotees, but as far as I am concerned, I am not being properly maintained. Indeed, I am being neglected by kings who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves by using grains for sense gratification. Consequently, I have hidden all these seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice, because everyone is a thief. Dena Eva. Krishna says, if we don't offer what we get in sacrifice, we are certainly a thief. Due to being stuck for a long time, she said, I've held it in the earth, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process, which is recommended by the acharyas or shastras. So it's the same. The reason, the problem is not caused by me, but how could I give the grains and seeds which were meant for sacrifice, for your pleasure, how could I give it to these non-devotee rascals, fools, etc.? How could I do that? Prabhupada's purport. When there is a scarcity of grain, the government should follow the methods prescribed in the shastras, approved by the acharyas. And thus there will be sufficient production of grains, and food scarcity and famine can be checked. Bhagavad Gita recommends that we perform jagya, sacrifices. By the performance of jagya, sufficient clouds gather in the sky. And when there are sufficient clouds, there is also sufficient rainfall. In this way, agricultural matters are taken care of. When there is sufficient grain production, The general populace eats the grains, and animals like cows, goats, and other domestic animals eat the grasses and grains also. According to this arrangement, human beings should perform the sacrifices recommended in the Shastra. And if they do so, there will no longer be food scarcity. In Kali Yuga, the only sacrifice recommended is Sankirtan Yagya. In this verse, there are two significant words, Yogena, by the approved method, and Dushtena, as exemplified by the former Acharyas. One is mistaken if he thinks that by applying modern machines such as tractors, grains can be produced. If one goes to a desert and uses a tractor, there is still no possibility of producing grains. We may adopt various means, but it is essential to know that the planet Earth will stop producing grains if sacrifices are not performed. The Earth has already explained that because non-devotees are enjoying the production of food, she has reserved food seeds for the performance of sacrifice. Now, of course, atheists will not believe in the spiritual method of producing grains, but whether they believe or not, the fact remains that we are not independent to produce grains by mechanical means. As far as the approved method is concerned, it is enjoined in the Shastras that intelligent men in this age will take to the Sankirtan movement, and by so doing they shall worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, whose bodily complexion is golden, and who is always accompanied by his confidential devotees to preach this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. In its present condition, the world can only be saved by introducing this Sankirtan, this Krishna consciousness movement. As we have learned from the previous verse, one who is not in Krishna consciousness is considered a thief. Even though he may be materially very advanced, a thief cannot be placed in a comfortable position. A thief is a thief, and he is punishable. Because people are without Krishna consciousness, they have become thieves, and consequently, they are being punished by the laws of material nature. No one can check this, not even by introducing so many relief funds and humanitarian institutions. Unless the people of the world take to Krishna consciousness, there will be a scarcity of food and much suffering. So in that, Prabhupada is giving the Shastric program and the program of the Acharyas for satisfying the population of the world's food needs, and it is by pleasing the Lord through Sankirtan Yagya. So the earth continues. O great hero, protector of living entities, if you desire to relieve the living entities by supplying them sufficient grains, and if you desire to nourish them by taking milk from me, which is in the form of a cow, you should make arrangements to bring a calf suitable for this purpose and a pot in which the milk can be kept, as well as a milkman to do the work. Since I will be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. Purport. These are nice instructions for milking a cow. The cow must first have a calf, so that out of affection for the calf, she will voluntarily give sufficient milk. There must also be an expert milkman and a suitable pot in which to keep the milk. Just as a cow cannot deliver sufficient milk without being affectionate to a calf, the earth cannot produce sufficient necessities without feeling affection for those who are Krishna conscious. Even though the earth's being in the shape of a cow may be taken figuratively, the meaning herein is very explicit. Just as a calf can derive milk from a cow, all living entities, including animals, birds, bees, reptiles, and aquatics, can receive their respective foods from the planet Earth, provided that human beings are not asat or adritivrat, as we have previously discussed. When human society becomes asat or ungodly or devoid of Krishna consciousness, the entire world suffers. If human beings are well behaved, animals will also receive sufficient food and be happy. The ungodly human being, ignorant of his duty to give protection and food to the animals, kills them to compensate for the insufficient production of grains. Thus no one is satisfied, and that is the cause for the present condition in today's world. My dear king. So she's saying, I am the earth in the form of a cow, so you find a suitable calf, a suitable pot, and you will be able to milk all kinds of food for human society for me. And not only that, all the living entities will be able to get just what they need, regardless of what it is they need, from the earth itself, if the earth is feeling affection, if the devotees are offering those produce to the Lord. So my dear king, I may inform you that you have to make the entire surface of the globe level. This will help me, even when the rainy season has ceased. Rainfall comes by the mercy of King Indra. Rainfall will remain on the surface of the globe, always keeping the earth moistened, and thus it will be auspicious for all kinds of production. So first milk the earth, and then level the earth so that there will be sufficient grains, water. After hearing the auspicious and pleasing words of the planet Earth, the king accepted them. He then transformed Swayambhuva Manu into a calf and milked all the herbs and grains from the earth in the form of a cow, keeping them in his cupped hands. So exactly how this system works, I cannot say, and we'll hear more about it very soon. But there is one part of the system that is clear how it will work. Next verse, 13. Others, who are as intelligent as King Prithu, also took the essence out of the earth planet. Indeed, everyone took this opportunity to follow in the footsteps of King Prithu and get whatever he desired from the planet Earth. So King Prithu, using Swayambhuva Manu as the calf to evoke the affection of the earth so it would give abundance of milk, he produced grains, the earth produced grains, and Prithu has kept them in his palmed and cupped hands. And then all the other living entities began to say, oh, now we see how to get what we want from the earth. So one after another we hear that, of what they get. But now let us just hear Prabhupada's purport. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, this is about one third of the way down to 13. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the process of jagya was instituted from the beginning of creation. By the regular performance of jagya, the equal distribution of wealth and the restriction of sense gratification, the entire world will be made peaceful and prosperous. So three things. Jagya, equal distribution of wealth, and people don't become gluttonous or greedy in their sense gratification. People should just take what they require and in a legitimate shastric way, approved way. By the regular performance of jagya, the equal distribution of wealth and the restriction of sense gratification, the entire world will be made peaceful and prosperous. As already mentioned, in this age of Kali, the simple performance of Sankirtan Jagya, the holding of festivals as initiated by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, should be introduced in every town and village. Intelligent men should encourage the performance of Sankirtan Jagya by their personal behavior. This means that they should follow the process of austerity by restricting themselves from illicit sex life, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. If the intelligent men or the brahmanas of society would follow the rules and regulations, certainly the entire face of the present world, which is in such chaotic condition, would change and people would be happy and prosperous. So there's a lot of preaching. That has to be done. Text 14. So here's the continuation of how all the different living entities milk the earth. All the great sages transformed Brihaspati into a calf, and making the senses into a pot, they milked all kinds of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind, and hearing. Prabhupada's purport. If human society remains satisfied simply by taking grains from the planet Earth, as well as other necessities for maintaining the body, society will not be sufficiently Is this sentence correct? If human society remains satisfied simply by taking grains from a planet Earth as well as other necessities for maintaining the body, if it doesn't offer them to Krishna, society will not be sufficiently prosperous. Humanity must have food for the mind and ear as well as for the purpose of vibration. As far as transcendental vibrations are concerned, the essence of all Vedic knowledge is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In Kali Yuga, if this Vedic Mahamantra is chanted regularly and heard regularly by the devotional process of Shravanam Kirtanam, it will purify all societies and thus humanity will be happy both materially and spiritually. 15. So the sages began to milk. Now the demigods, they made Indra, the king of heaven, into a calf. And from the earth they milked the beverage Soma. According to one's own tendencies and desires, one will want something based on his own mind from the earth. So the demigods got Soma, which is nectar. Thus they became very powerful in mental speculation and bodily and sensual strength. The sons of Diti and the demons transformed Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in an Asura family, into a calf. And they extracted various kinds of liquor and beer, which they put into a pot made of iron. And suddenly, she'll be right. That's not in there, by the way. The inhabitants of Gandhava Loka and Apsara Loka made Vishvavasu into a calf, and they drew the milk into a lotus flower pot. The milk took the shape of sweet musical art and beauty, so everything can be gotten from the earth. And in fact, we see that from the grains, that's where all the liquor and the beer is produced. The fortunate inhabitants of Pitraloka, who preside over the funeral ceremonies, made Arayama into a calf. With great faith, they milk kavya, food offered to the ancestors, into an unbaked earthen pot. That's something necessary for religious performance, to rescue the ancestors. After this, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, as well as the inhabitants of Vidyadharaloka, transform the great sage Kapila into a calf, and making the whole sky into a pot, because the sky is like an upside down pot which holds all the air. So making the sky into a pot, the Kanaras, the Siddhalokas and the Vidyadharaloka inhabitants, they milked out specific yogic mystic powers, beginning with anima. Indeed, the inhabitants of Vidyadharaloka acquired the art of flying in the sky. So others also, the inhabitants of the planets known as Kimpurusha Lok, made the demon Maya into a calf, and they milked out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form. So one can attain these powers also through yoga. This is good power. You can disappear. Someone is chastising you or something. Disappear and you come back as Mahatma Gandhi, looking like Mahatma Gandhi or something. No one would give you any trouble. Then the yakshas, rakshas, ghosts and witches, who are habituated to eating flesh, transform Lord Shiva's incarnation Rudra, Bhutanath, into a calf and milked out beverages made of blood and put them in a pot made of skulls. Ooh. So even those in the deepest ignorance can attain their desires, can have their desires fulfilled if they do it properly. Therefore cobras and snakes without hoods, large snakes, scorpions and many other poisonous animals took poison out of the planet Earth as their milk and kept this poison in snake holes. They made a calf out of Takshaka. Prabhupada's point from the purport. The point is that everyone is taking his eatables from the planet Earth. According to one's association with the material qualities, one develops a certain type of character. Payo panam bhujanganam. If one feeds a serpent milk, the snake will simply increase his venom. However, if one supplies milk to a talented sage or saint, The sage will develop finer brain tissue by which he can contemplate higher spiritual life. Thus the Lord is supplying everyone food. But according to the living entity's association with the modes of material nature, the living entity develops a specific character. So Krishna will supply what we want and need based on our nature and desires. So what is it? What is it that we actually want? Because Krishna can supply it. So this is the art of Krishna consciousness, is to change the content of one's desires to the higher spiritual desires, away from indriyasindriyasyate raga dvesho vyavastita, away from the attractions of sense enjoyment. Confirmed. The four-legged animals, like the cows, made a calf out of the bull who carries Lord Shiva, and made a milking pot out of the forest. And they got, thus they got fresh green grass to eat. Ferocious animals like tigers transform milk. The birds made a calf out of Garuda and took milk from the planet Earth in the form of moving insects and non-moving plants and grasses. So this is what birds eat. So everyone gets their needs met from the earth. The trees made a calf out of the banyan tree, and thus they derived milk in the form of many delicious juices. The mountains transformed the Himalayas into a calf, and they milked a variety of minerals into a pot made of the peaks of hills. The planet Earth supplied everyone with his respective food. During the time of King Prithu, the Earth was fully under the control of the king. Thus all the inhabitants of the Earth could get their food supply by creating various types of calves and putting the particular types of milk in various pots. And now the earth is rebelling, and there are mudslides and earthquakes and rainstorms and this and that. So Maitreya is continuing. My dear Vidura, chief of the Kurus, in this way, King Prithu and all the others who subsist on food created different types of calves and milked out their respective eatables. Thus they received their various foodstuffs, which were symbolized as milk. Thereafter, King Prithu was very satisfied with the planet Earth, for she sufficiently supplied all food to various living entities. Thus he developed an affection for the planet Earth, just as if she were his own daughter. After this, the king of all kings, Maharaj Prithu, leveled all the rough places on the surface of the globe by breaking up the hills with the strength of his bow. By his grace, the surface of the globe became almost flat. To all the citizens of the state, so this is a little more describing the glorious activities of Prithu Maharaj. To all the citizens of the state, King Prithu was as good as a father. Thus he was visibly engaged in giving them proper subsistence and proper employment for subsistence. After leveling the surface of the globe, he earmarked different places for residential quarters, inasmuch as they were desirable. In this way, the king found many types of villages, settlements, and towns, and built forts, residences for cowherdsmen, stables for the animals, and places for the royal camps, mining places, agricultural towns, and mountain villages. Before the reign of King Prithu, there was no planned arrangement for different cities, villages, pasturing grounds, etc. Everything was scattered, and everyone constructed his residential quarters according to his own convenience. However, since King Prithu, plans were made for towns and villages. So town planning, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, is an ancient art started at the time of Prithu Maharaj. So that is the end of chapter 18. And tomorrow, chapter 19 is an interesting one. And 19 is the final chapter in this book, the first of the two books of the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Interesting story. If Krishna allows, we'll finish it by the end of the week. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
It's really interesting that after showing so much feminine anger towards the earth, that in the final outcome, pretty much displayed affection like as if she was his own daughter.
Yeah. So basically, he was using anger to get what he required to do his service of feeding the citizens. And he was relentless about it until the earth surrendered. And she said, ultimately, the problem, you're going to kill me, but the problem isn't exactly me. It's been that Venu. Maharaj Vena was in charge previously, and the people weren't performing sacrifices, and therefore everyone was acting as non-devotees, and I've lost my desire to produce the food grains, which is really meant for you, for sacrifice. Good comment. Any other comments, questions? Okay. We'll continue tomorrow. Pitamaraj ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.